Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're going to read Galatians 1, but before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us, letting us know you, the creator of the world, the universe, all the stars, and all that's, that are beyond them. You want to know us, and us to know you. That's amazing, because we're just one of billions. So, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for you to open our hearts and our minds today as we read. May you share with us what's important for each one of us. May you be the one who speaks. Nothing from me, all from you. I thank you and I praise you for this time. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So Galatians 1, let's just go ahead and jump on into it. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserted the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So what's happened here is Paul went out on his first journey into Asia, and he spoke to the Galatians, and they accepted the gospel. They're now being influenced by Jewish Christians that are pushing back on the need for circumcision and following Jewish law. But Paul will push back and say, no, that's not required because it's about grace. So let's move on. Chapter 11, or verse 11. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. So Paul didn't go and get an education. He didn't go and go to a seminary school and get taught what to say. He didn't even go to synagogue and consult the great scholars of the time. He got up and he just went and started preaching. He went on a journey and started telling people about God. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, who is Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then, when I went to Syria and Cilicia, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. So you have a situation where Paul has taught and he's converted and established a church. And now so many others, they try to go back to their old comfortable ways. So you have Jewish Christians who are trying to go back to their comfortable ways. They're trying to relate their old life with the new. And as a result, they're now trying to impose those historical traditions upon the new believers or the non-Jews. And they're talking about circumcision, the Sabbath, and everything else. So let's hear what Charles Spurgeon had to say. He focused on verse 15, where it says, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me." He writes, "You all know the story of the Apostle Paul. He had been a persecutor and went armed with letters to Damascus to hail men and women and drag them to prison. On the road there he saw a light exceedingly bright, above the brightness of the sun, and a voice spoke out of heaven to him, saying, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' By this miraculous interposition, he was converted. 3 days he spent in darkness, but when Ananias came to tell him of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales. He was baptized and became the most mighty of all Christian teachers, and could truly say that he was not a whit behind the very chief of the apostles." Paul's conversion is generally considered so very remarkable for its suddenness and distinctness, and truly it is. Yet at the same time, it is no exception to the general rule of conversions, but is rather a type or model or pattern of the way in which God shows forth his long-suffering to them that are led to believe on him. It appears from my text, however, that there is another part of Paul's history which deserves our attention, quite as much as the suddenness of his conversion, namely, the fact that although he was suddenly converted, yet God had had thoughts of mercy towards him from his very birth. God did not begin to work within him when he was on the road to Damascus. That was not the first occasion on which eyes of love had darted upon this chief of sinners. Paul declares that God had separated him and set him apart, even from his mother's womb, that he might, by and by, be called by grace and have Jesus Christ revealed in him. And that applies to us. We apply God from the beginning. He chooses us. We have to accept it, but he chooses us. He works in our life, though. He sets us apart. He works in our lives from way before we ever say, "Oh, Lord, I accept you. Please come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior." He is working in our lives. He's setting us apart from the very beginning. Spurgeon goes on to say, "We do not attach enough importance to the grace of God in his dealing with men before he actually brings them to himself." Paul says that God had made designs of love towards him even before he had called him out of the dead world into spiritual life. And it's true. God has been working in our lives before we ever accepted him. God has been working in our children before they were born. He knew them in the womb. He knit them together. And it was his love that was applied to them. God has known us from the beginning. He's worked in our lives from the beginning. It wasn't only after we got healed, We got saved. Our sin was washed away. It was well before that. So with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, and thank you for loving us well before we've never deserved it. But being that you work in our lives from the beginning, you know us, you love us, and you move in our lives. Before we ever even see you moving, and even when we've accepted you as we've got you in our lives, your Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. So often, we still don't see your hand moving when it's moving in mighty ways. We may not even attribute events and things to you that you've orchestrated for our benefit, that you've orchestrated out of love. So, Father, thank you. I'm grateful. And I just pray that my eyes, our eyes, would be open to your hand, to the movement of your and the works of you in our lives, that we would truly understand how you move, how you love, and how you take care of us each and every day. I thank you and I praise you for this time. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.